I've never been more tired in my regular life. I'm in a restaurant. Everyone has their phones out. I have to leave the restaurant now.
It's not the sound of cell phones that has Dr. Pat Hopkins racing for the door.
I can relate. I feel like the earth is sucking me down sometimes when I've been overexposed.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. Chances are you're listening to me on a smartphone or on your computer. But do we ever question the safety of these devices or how my voice actually gets transmitted into your ear? Maybe it's because wireless tech is so prevalent in our lives and it's marketed so aggressively that we ignore the research and the potential dangers of the microwave radiation that wireless tech emits. That's why it's important to listen to this episode and learn safer ways to use wireless tech, however daunting it is, even for me. We're doomed. We talk about glyphosate and, like, companies are still spraying it on our food.
All right, let's just pause for a moment. Talk is cheap. You can all holler. But until you make a plan to change your life, you're not going to get the plan to take place. And that's what I've learned. So it's okay to say nobody's doing the right thing. Spend a day and don't throw away plastic. Spend a week and don't eat meat. If we're in common space, the common space has to be free of the disruptions of having your phone. And without even talking about Wi-Fi, I'm talking about the fact that the mind is, it's a magnet. It's like a drug that draws the person away from their focus. And a professor at University of Texas, Austin, realized he thought differently if his phone was on his desk versus in his briefcase. So he did a study with students and he had them all taking a test, simple test. It was just cognitive, simple test. And if the phone was face down beside them, then he moved the phone into their backpacks, and then he moved the phone down the hall in a locked closet. Three completely different results. We're in a crisis mode on so many fronts that it is overwhelming, and people are adding to it by putting, what's it called, Alexa, in their homes. Isn't that another form of control by Wi-Fi? Because we're going to just keep asking. And asking, but we're not going to have the answers of how to survive. Have to stop asking and start acting.
All right, I don't feel any better. Walk us through your home and visualize for us all the places that have wireless tech.
So when I walk into my home, so I know I'm carrying wireless technology with me. I have my phone, I have my laptop, I have my iPad, I have two iPads. So right there, I'm sort of a walking antenna.
Do you have an alarm system in your home?
I have an alarm system.
Okay, which I presume is wireless back to the company or maybe not?
It's hardwired.
Okay.
It's actually a hardwired system with our fire alarm.
All right.
One of the problems we have where we live is they've not maintained our telephone lines, the landlines, so we were forced to get a wireless telephone. Okay. So Verizon could not figure it out. We only have static on our line, and they said we'd have to dig up the town to figure out where the line has been corrupted, whether it's rust or a tree or a root, but they're not being maintained.
Do you have a microwave?
Yes, never used, but we do have a microwave.
But it's there.
It's there.
Do you have a phone cradle?
We have phone cradles, yes.
How many in your home? Two or three?
Yeah, probably that. They're plugged in.
Okay.
We had to put a router in our bedroom because we couldn't get any signal because our Wi-Fi, we're so far from any tower and we don't have any landlines that are working. So we actually had to put a router in our bedroom to get even a signal for our own phones to work.
Just for the phones that you need a wireless router in your bedroom.
And I do like, I mean, I watch TV.
You watch TV. How about your TV? Is it wireless to your cable?
I'm going to assume it's tied into the wireless router system.
All right. Well, this gives us at least a starting point to see how much we are relying on wireless technology. And joining us now is an expert on technology safety. Cece Doucette is a founder and communications director with the international nonprofit charity Wireless Education, wirelesseducation.org. Hi, Cece.
Hi, thanks for having me here today.
Thanks for joining us. How dire is the situation in terms of wireless tech and our health?
Well, when we first learn about this, it gets people's heads spinning. The peer-reviewed published scientific literature is linking wireless technology to the epidemic proportions we're having now of anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. It's a neurotoxin. It's also being linked to autism and earlier onset Alzheimer's. And our own government just completed a $30 million study with the U.S. National Toxicology Program that shows clear evidence of tumors, which is cancer, and DNA damage. So in the short term, a lot of people don't sleep right anymore. And we know that this constant pulse of microwave radiation out of our devices causes us to have irregular sleep habits. And that's kind of the tip of the iceberg. So a lot of people don't feel well today, but they've never been educated to connect the dots to the radio frequency radiation emissions that are coming out of their devices.
There's so many dots to connect, right? Our food chain, our environment, our air, our water, stuff like that. You know, this is invisible. So I would think that because of that, the public can't really kind of grasp the scope of this problem.
I agree. When I was first learning about this, I went to a girlfriend of mine who's an electrical engineer, and she's the one who tipped me off that there could be biological effects. And I said, how can I get my head around this? So she said, take a transistor radio and put it between stations on AM, for example, and go around to all your devices because it's a transmitter and it will pick up the radio frequency and you'll hear these big blasts of static come out. So that was a very rudimentary way for me to learn about this and get my ears involved because, like you said, it's invisible. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. But our individual biological cells can feel it, and they know because we are bioelectric beings and we are just getting inundated now with all of these wireless signals around us.
All right, let's get down and dirty, so to speak. Cece, wireless is convenient for us. It takes us anywhere. We can send email from the passenger seat of a car. We could be sitting and watching a football game, but communicating with a relative on our laptop. It's endless. So help us walk through how we change and give up this convenience of wireless in order to make our homes and our families safer.
It comes down to personal choice and education. Once we get the education and understand that there is very great biological risk, then it makes it a little easier for us to think about the habits that we have built around the convenience component. And when Steve was talking about his pregnant partner, Dr. Hugh Taylor, who runs the OBGYN program at Yale Medical, he did a project called the Baby Safe Project. And anybody who is expecting a child or has young ones might wish to go out to the Baby Safe Project and learn firsthand, what can you do? So get educated. There's also a nonprofit called wirelesseducation.org where we have distilled literally thousands of peer-reviewed published scientific studies that show biological harm into a 30-minute course online that anybody can take for, I think it's less than the cost of a movie ticket, just to help cover the expense of the nonprofit. But for physicians and other healthcare practitioners, you can print out little cards from Wireless Education and have them in your office to give to your patients. Because when you start this conversation, first, we don't want to hear it because we've all become so reliant on this technology. So the message is not no technology, it's safe technology. And with a little education, we can begin making balanced choices again. So there's a schools and families course, and there's also a corporate safety induction course for the workplace. So if you own a medical practice or you work in a medical practice, on the lunch hour, have your staff go out and take the corporate safety induction course. They will learn what other countries are already doing because France, for example, already has a national law that you cannot have wireless around preschools, nursery schools, kindergartens. And at the upper grades, the default is everything is off. You choose hardwired technology and you only turn the wireless on when it's absolutely necessary.
Okay, let's go almost like a lightning round. I'm going to name different products in our home and maybe offices, and I want you to be as succinct as possible of what we should do. Let's just start with a microwave oven in the kitchen.
The science shows that when you cook food in a microwave oven, it changes the molecular structure that can then be carcinogenic. So personally, I bought myself a really nice toaster oven. I can roast a chicken in it. I can bake a pie in it. And I use that, or I use my cast iron skillets for reheating food.
My beloved cell phone.
Your beloved cell phone, I think I see here, is an iPhone. You can simply hardwire that when you're not on the go. You just need to get an RJ45 Lightning to Ethernet adapter, and then you can just plug it into an Ethernet cable on one end. The other end goes to your router, and then you're running a fast signal through that wire, and you just go into your settings and turn off all of those antennas. You've got a cellular, a data, a Bluetooth, a Wi-Fi, a locator, and a hotspot. And they give these devices to us with everything transmitting. That's six separate antennas transmitting all the time, unless you know to disable them. And when you're on the go, just turn on the one that you're using if you're just texting or if you're just waiting for a call. Turn all those other ones off to reduce your exposure.
As an aside, turning it off means that we won't be as accessible to people.
That's true, but we all have a right to own our own time again, so pretend you're in the shower or pretend you're in a meeting where you cannot be disturbed, and then your messaging will go into voicemail, and when you're ready, turn your device on, separate it from your body, upload, download, and then listen to your messages once you go back into airplane mode.
The laptop computer.
The laptop computer, you'll notice in marketing these days, they seldom call it a laptop anymore because the manufacturers know that it contains radio frequency transmitters. So now they've started calling them tablets to encourage you to use them on a table instead of on your body. But a lot of the laptops still have an Ethernet jack in it. So again, just hardwire back to an Ethernet cable. Go into your settings and turn off those antennas. And if you use something like a MacBook or a Chromebook, all you need to do is get a Thunderbolt adapter and hardwire that. And it's simple, but people simply have no idea that there's a risk here.
The wireless router in our homes that basically is the umbrella for everything wireless.
Right. So once I figured out how to hardwire my home, I called up my internet service provider and said, we're choosing hardwire, but this triple play box that I have is emitting high radio frequencies. So they said, oh, just sit down at your computer. And I went, really? And they said, yeah. And they showed me how to get into my account online. And right from my computer, I could go into wireless settings in my ISP account. And when I clicked on that, I saw I had multiple antennas in there. At that time, there was a 2.4 and a 5 gigahertz antenna. And I just went off, off, apply. And then within a few seconds, I went and measured again, and those radio frequencies were now gone in my home. When we moved to another carrier, I learned that that one triple play box now had five antennas in it. It had the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz hotspot, and then it also had a 2.4 and a 5 gigahertz, well, it had the regular ones, and then it had additional ones for hotspots because the carrier is using our private box to throw signal out to the curb so others can hook in when they're going by, which I think is a little unconscionable because one, they don't tell us, and two, they're using our electricity that we're paying for to power all this stuff.
Wireless earbuds.
Yeah, not a great idea because now you're putting a radio frequency transmitter via Bluetooth right on both sides of your brain, and then you've got a device somewhere on your body, likely in the form of a cell phone, that are constantly transmitting back and forth. And what we could choose to do is to get a hollow tube or an air tube headset that works like a physician's stethoscope where it's got great acoustics traveling up from the device up through to your head, but it's got little beads that cut any radiation. And notice that there's no metal up on the earbuds because metal works as an amplifier of radiation. It's a conductor. So you never want to put anything metal to your head because it's going to draw on all those signals that are floating around you.
Hi, it's Ted taking a second to remind you that the Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for healthy living, and doctors who provide a personalized approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus schedule an appointment, at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now back to our conversation. Pat, we hear all the consumer products that CC is talking about. Are you prepared to start wiring all of the devices in your home that you have enjoyed the benefits of wireless, walking from room to room?
I'm going to go back to Corning hardware and fiber optics. In the Corning company, while people my generation were not so excited about their little white tableware, we were very excited that Corning was going to be the fiber optic king. And this goes back to the 80s. And I'm living in New York. They've dug up the street from the east side to the west side for a new subway. And there would be new fiber optic channels going through. And for 30, almost 40 years, I've been hearing fiber optic will be the next generation of connectivity. And I must have fallen asleep somewhere because I still think it's coming. I call them frequently and say, where is my fiber optic cable?
But until, you know, we get more and more places fibered, are you ready to give up? Because I'm just trying to see whether people listening are going to be willing to give up this convenience of being able to send an email from your phone anytime, any place, right? Remote offices. Are we going to be giving up more than one screen while we're watching television and emailing a friend or a family? Are you ready to give up all of the conveniences of wireless?
I think that if you do it correctly, you're actually not giving it all up. And yes, protected time is what we're all hoping to achieve, that instant connectivity socially is another detriment to society. So there's only an upside to limiting our connectivity. There's no downside. I mean, I don't know how many people you've almost run over because they will not look up from their phone as they cross the street. What is so important? My kids laugh. Mom never knows where her phone is. So no, I'm not giving anything up. But for the people I see that are addicted to the screen stroll and they cannot come off that strolling screen by screen by screen by screen by screen, it's a physical, absolutely a physical addiction.
But when I talk about giving up the convenience of wireless, I mean that you are going to be connected to the Ethernet in your living room. If you want to take your laptop to the bedroom, you're going to be lugging that Ethernet cord and you're going to then plug it in the bedroom. If you want to take it into your office at home.
Not a big deal for me. But I will say I have this sense that I am actually developing EMF fatigue. And I've been trying to put my finger on it over the past 6 months because my kids always say to me, Mom, you're the most energetic person I know on earth. And I keep looking at them going, I've never been more tired in my regular life. Like I feel like I'm in a restaurant. Everyone has their phones out. I have to leave the restaurant now.
Yeah, we are bioelectrical. And this is overwhelming our own biochemistry. And chronic fatigue is a big part of it. So yeah, your body is telling you. And if we start listening to our bodies, then we will perhaps peel back and start using safe technology, and at that, in limited quantities. As you mentioned, the addiction component is not just from excessive screen time. We know scientifically that these radio frequency waves are hitting the same receptors in the brain where we develop addictions to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, pornography, gambling. So even though people will jokingly say, oh, I'm so addicted to my phone, they don't realize that it truly is an addiction. There are some excellent books out. Dr. Victoria Dunkley has a book called Reset Your Child's Brain, and she has a 4-week protocol where in the first week you educate everybody around your child on why you're unplugging for the next 3 weeks, and then over that 3-week course, you be very actively parenting, you provide activities that are healthy, outdoors, get them reconnected to the earth, do things that will give them their own time to develop their own creativity. And the things that we just used to do as parents instead of allowing children to be in front of screens on end. And at the end of that protocol, the whole family is relieved because they've all had to look at their own use of wireless technology and screens in general. And the kids feel like they're themselves again. They feel like they're back in their own skins. So, Pat, when you were saying you just feel this fatigue all the time, I can relate. I feel like the earth is sucking me down sometimes when I've been overexposed. But once you get this out of your home and you start reclaiming, especially your sleeping space, and you start sleeping well again, people begin to feel much, much better. Headaches go way down, nosebleeds, nausea, dizziness, anxiety, depression. This is a constant hit on our body on so many levels. And so, yeah, it is a shock to learn this for the first time. And we all will probably circle our tail for a while and just notice where are all of our exposures, and then come back to the table and say, okay, what can I do? And there are little hacks you can do all over the place. Keep everything in airplane mode when you're not using it. Hardwire your house. Don't give your kids devices to keep themselves entertained unless that device is in airplane mode with no transmitters transmitting.
Or wired somewhere.
Yeah. Let them have, you know, when I was raising my kids, we had a limit. No more than 2 hours of screen time a day, be that from a computer or from a television or a gaming device. No more than 2 hours a day. And when we got into these unlimited data plans, it was like, woohoo, you know, the playground is open. And I think that's when we all started using these devices full time.
Cece Doucette, technology safety educator and founder and communications director with the international nonprofit charity Wireless Education, thanks for spending time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor. Share it with your friends and family and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.